Hi, everyone. My name is Addie.
And I'm Shira.
And you're listening to
It's Complicated, the podcast. You may have heard of us before. We used to have a column in the opinion section, but now we've become travel size for your hot girl walks and when you need some advice on the go.
And if you're new here, welcome. It's Complicated is a space where we talk about everything surrounding love, dating, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, love for yourself. Because as we know,
it's complicated.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and we've talked the past few weeks about our favorite romance media and how to love ourselves, but we needed a visit this week from the Love Doctor. Mm-hmm. We survived Valentine's Day, and it got me thinking about this next season of our love lives. Much like the weather in Seattle, this new season is unpredictable. It was snowing today.
I know.
And it's freezing.
It's awful.
So me and our listeners are left with some questions about our relationships.
Yeah, before we dive into all of that, I did want to mention thank you so much to our listeners and to the Associated College Press. They have a Clips and Clicks contest, and we got first place for broadcast commentary on our book talk episode. So that's super cool.
Podcasters to lovers.
Yes, podcasters to lovers won first place. So
it's so exciting. Just humble brag real quick.
Yeah,
so thank you guys. It was so exciting. I guess they just loved me saying so true
about Valentine's Day. No, I think people were listening and you know. But yeah, we have a lot of questions and we need some answers. And who are Addie and I to give you all advice when we need to bring in someone else to be our doctor for today?
The love doctor.
The love doctor.
The love doctorate.
Yes. Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
I thought about it in the shower this morning.
Oh, amazing. We got questions submitted to us and we were really excited to answer some of them and also add our own questions. We're probably going to get more questions than answers, I'm guessing. That's how it always goes for us, but I'm really excited to dive in and ranging from different types of questions from things about relationships, things about sexuality, things about
friendship,
loving yourself,
roommates.
Ooh, roommates is a good one.
We've never talked about roommates
on
here.
We have not.
We should.
We could do a whole episode just on that.
Yeah, big thank you to my Instagram followers for sending in your beautiful questions and my friends for, you know, letting me hound them for the past week. I'm like, give me your problems.
Yes.
I can't fix them, but maybe Ben can.
Maybe he can. Hey, everyone. We're giving advice today with our favorite love expert, PhD, soon to graduate from the UW, Ben Compton.
Yay! Thank you, Ben! Ben is back.
So these are questions that we got submitted to Addie's Instagram, but we've kind of modified them to fit our own personal scenarios, and hopefully they'll reach kind of a broad spectrum of topics that will be useful to you.
Okay, so our first question for you, Ben, is, so we've heard the question before of like, how do I escape the friend zone? I feel like that's been talked about so much.
So much.
But Shira and I were just talking, and we think a better question is, how do I escape the first date zone? So to clarify that further, it's like when you're on a first date with someone, and it goes okay, but you're not really feeling the chemistry.
Yeah.
You feel like there's potential there.
Exactly.
But you don't know when to draw the line of like, okay,
are we
going
to
see each other again?
Are we seeing each other more than friends?
Are we going to get married?
Are we going to talk off the dating app? Or is it going to be like strictly like texting on the dating app, you know?
Have you done that? I feel like I give my number before the first date.
I feel like I've done both.
Yeah, when do you get off the app?
Exactly.
See,
that's
there's
the question.
So many questions.
Because
how do you
Hinge,
escape this first date?
I want to specifically talk about Hinge. They preface it by saying, this is an app meant to be deleted. So when do you know that it's time to delete
it? I've had Hinge on my phone for a year. So clearly it doesn't work.
Well, that's why we need some
everything.
Advice.
Okay, we'll let Ben talk.
Okay. I'm happy to be back here with you all. So to escape the first date zone, well, I'll say I also love Hinge. I've had it for more than 1 year, so no rush. No rush on that.
You have me beat.
But ideally, if you're feeling weird on the first day, that's normal, right? People get, like, I remember OkCupid back in the day asked questions. It was, like, one of the biggest ones. I don't know. It's not as common, at least in Seattle, I don't think. But they asked a question, do you get more anxiety in your first interview or on a first date, right? So it's, like, 50-50. Some people interview, some are date. So I'll say if you're worried about feeling weird on the first date, that's fine. Right? Most people feel not themselves. It's like when you're giving a public speech, right? If you ever take it a class, it's anxiety-inducing, right? But if you give a speech in front of your friends or something, like, it's chill. So if you're, like, worried your first date's a little awkward and you really do feel promise, I say hang in there. As to, you know, you ask a lot of questions and that. We're just totally chill. That's just normal conversation. Like, as for, like, if you're a little uncertain after the first date, just ask. Like, hey, I'd like to see you again. Honestly, that confidence can be very sexy. As well as, like, hey, I'd like to see you again on another date. Use the word date. See how they respond. But ideally, like, don't worry if it's a little awkward. Right? If it's awkward for you, it's probably awkward for them. But at the same time, if at the second date it's still awkward, that may be a sign that, like, hey, maybe this isn't my person. Right? Because, like, first dates are weird. But the second date, each consecutive date should be more chill. You should have a little bit more fun, relax. If you're a seasoned dater, you've had him for years maybe, you get more chill to start. All right? But definitely don't beat yourself up if the first one's awkward. Then take advantage of texting when you're not together, right? We always think that everything has to be done face-to-face. But in reality, like, we have phones for a reason. After the date, it's like, hey, I really like meeting you. If you're the kind of person, like, I'm sorry, it was a little awkward. I just felt a little nervous because I was so excited. You can take care of all, like, the logistical over text if that's where you're more comfortable. You probably ask them on a date over text, so why not ask them on the second date over text? Nothing wrong with using that. The technology we have.
And so, kind of linking that question, so when can we expect to feel that kind of, like, the chemistry? Like, if it doesn't come immediately, does that mean it's not going to come? And is there a science behind sexual compatibility?
So, chemistry and sexual compatibility are two separate things, right? If you're just thinking purely personality chemistry, like tit for tat going back and forth, like what we see in movies, right? Every movie, romantic comedy you've ever seen. I love it because in rom-coms, I know you had a podcast on rom-com. The only thing I have is, like, an expert, quote-unquote expert on interpersonal flirting, is the idea that in rom-coms, it's like this tit for tat. Like, you speak, then I stop speaking. And then you speak, like, there's these perfect pauses. Anyone who's ever been on a date, there's interrupting. You say the wrong thing. You, like, you stumble over your words.
I stutter. I'm a stutterer.
Right? And that's just normal, right? We're anxious, as we talked about, on the first or second date. So, like, when it comes to chemistry, that just takes time. But you should also be able to feel that via text. You should feel that when you're together. You should feel comfortable. As for the sexual compatibility, that one's a little different, right? Whether you do have sex on the first date or not, there's actually, like, biological research behind sexual compatibility. Specifically, so, like, one thing I teach in my nonverbal class is about scent signatures. It's called olfactics. It's the study of smell and what that communicates. So, like, everybody has scent signatures. Actually, every single person in the world has their own unique one. We know this because moms can recognize their scent of their babies, right? It suggests that we have that, right? So when it comes to sexual compatibility, unfortunately, sometimes you're just not compatible with people based on this scent. So specifically, there's this idea. I'll get a little science on you, just a little. It's called the Mr. Hysterectomy Complex, MHC, as it's known on the streets, right? The idea is, the theory is that your body wants to reproduce. Again, not to say we're all civil creatures now, but ideally are biological, right? Looking for reproduction, even if you don't care to have a mate ever or now. But the idea is our bodies recognize someone who has a similar MHC as us. Again, a Mr. Hysterectomy Complex. And the idea is that person, we're not as attracted to via smell, right? It's almost on a very subconscious level. We're not quite aware of it. So this is like the idea when you sweat. So I've dated people who are like, they like, after I a cycle class, right? They're like, oh my God, you smell amazing. And I've been with other people that, like, they don't want to be around me when I sweat. Or I've smelled them, like, oh my God, right? So the idea is, the science behind it argues that if you have someone who has the same MHC as you, your body is trying to tell you not to reproduce with them. Because the idea is, if you think about passing on genes, you want two separate ones so the strongest one can be reproduced for the offspring, right? So the idea behind smell, like why we're just biologically wired to find some people attractive smell-wise. Similar-wise, if anyone who's ever had sex, you know that walking into a room after sex can smell bad, right? Especially if you're not the person engaging in that sexual intercourse. Is this idea that at the end of the day, we want different people. They've actually done some few studies, like one that I found fascinating. Essentially, they have men and women rate, as just done on heterosexual participants, but they have men and women look at photos of opposite gender people and then rate them 1 to 10. And they have them smell their shirts and not tell whose shirt was who. And they have them rate the smell of the shirts. But they found that often people who were attracted to the photos also ranked the smell attraction as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Interestingly, they actually found that women, and I know you have a lot of female or women identifying listeners, but they found that women actually found rated higher smells on the shirts more higher or more favorable for the more attractive looking men when they're ovulating, right? And just
sense.
For myself and for any men listening out there, I didn't know ovulation, but apparently that's when women are most fertile.
Yes.
I'd educate myself on that one. But as that's not my lived experience.
Glad we're all
caught
up now.
But so short answer.
Yeah, totally.
Short answer is essentially sometimes you're just not sexually compatible in the sense that you just may not be biologically wired the same way. We can get outside of like actual physical characteristics that may not be compatible for some people. But when it comes to just purely smell, we're often. So I've actually dated people that I really liked and I just like noticed at times like, oh my God, like we start to sweat. Like I'm not like, I don't really like this smell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was happening subconsciously. When I learned about this, I'm like, oh my God, I was hyper aware of it then. So again, short answer is yes, there's science behind sexual compatibility. But if you are trying to combat that, like maybe your perfect person just smells a little funny and deodorant you don't want to use all the time, right? It may just be at the end of the day, communicate. Mm-hmm. Right? Sexual compatibility, like science, simple answer shows the more we communicate about sex consistently, the higher relational and sexual satisfaction people report. So literally just talking to your partner about what you like and more importantly, what you don't like. A lot of people are afraid to say what they don't like. Mm-hmm. So they've been kind of coerced into doing things out of a little bit of fear. That's normal for all of us. But again, no one wants to be coerced. So just communicate. Maybe they don't smell good, but hey, maybe they can satisfy you because they're the greatest listener in the world. Something like that.
Super so fair. Interesting. Now I'm going to like show up to my first dates like right after like a workout.
And see what happens.
Is this what you like?
No, good.
It's gross. I'm sorry.
Like in that hypothetical that you go on a first date, probably off of a dating app, and there's no sparks flying, but you want to stick it out. What can you expect in the future that eventually there'll just be kind of a day where it hits you or it's more over time? I feel like when I talk to my friends about this a lot of times, it's like a big commitment to keep seeing the same person when you don't feel that attraction.
So like, when do you call it?
Exactly. When do you call it?
Well, I have a firm philosophy that if you're on the dating apps, and I know not all listeners are, but most listeners are in college. Mm-hmm. So you have two options. You have dating apps, which are a lot of people, or college, which is the most people you're ever going to be around, right? People your age, right?
Yeah.
It's sad when you leave college, but things change. But we'll talk. That's a future podcast. We'll keep it happy.
We need a post-graduation episode.
I mean, yeah, we'll do it in a few weeks. To your question is, ultimately, you have so many suitors out there. I've been on very few A dates, a lot of B dates, and a lot of C dates. You have one philosophy being like, hey, like there's so many fish in the sea. Why are we so excited to find the next person? Like, what if? And the philosophy I tell my mom when she gets discouraged from dating is like, maybe you've been on 100 dates, but the 101st date is your person. Just keep going. Like, if you truly didn't feel the spark, unless there's something about this person, like they're a stand-up comedian, you've always wanted to date a stand-up comedian. I have a friend who likes guys named Josiah. And so anyone named Josiah, she gives a chance. And I'm like, she's not even attracted. I'm like, well, his name's Josiah. And I'm like, that's you do you. But ideally is, I mean, yes, you can sit with it. But again, if you look at time as like, you don't want to waste time going on bad dates, which I don't think is the best philosophy personally, but each your own, then, I mean, you can stick it out. But ultimately, you should feel some sort of spark, either before the date, during the date, or maybe even after the date. But if it doesn't happen in one or two dates, like, unless, you know, you're living in a small town and outside of Washington, and you're just like, oh, there's seven people here. Well, but we have literally 7,000 people within 4 miles of you that you can potentially fall in love with.
That's so true. I think the spark can be redefined too. Like maybe it's not a super physical spark connection. Maybe it's an intellectual one. Or wow, they really are such a good listener. Like I love how they listen to my feelings. Like my heart feels the spark. Or my brain feels the spark.
Right. But I do feel like we might have talked about this last time, I don't remember, that there does need to be some sort of physical attraction at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned this.
There's
last
gotta
time,
be
yeah.
something to work with. But I will say,
completely.
No, I think it'll grow with time, especially if you have those other components and you're building relationship outside of that.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done research that shows if you have a positive interaction with someone, you rate them higher, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, I think everyone, so both generally men, women, non-binary people rate physical attraction as the top. I know we live in a society, people are afraid to say oh, they're ugly. It happened. Well, he was ugly. No one says that. Right? Yeah. The stigma behind those kind of words are kind of harsh. But everyone deserves, my mom gave me this advice. She's if you don't want to jump their bones after a few dates, what the hell are you doing? Everyone deserves to feel physically, sexually, romantically attracted. Right? If this is the person you're looking to settle down with, even for a month, 2 months, a year, the rest of your life, why not? You should be physically attracted. And yes, maybe that'll change for you, but you should look at them and be wow. Mm-hmm. And that may be too high of standards, but right now, I'm 31, we're all in our 20s. We got time. Mm-hmm. When we're 70, maybe we'll be you know what? I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah.
For the time being, why not?
We're all saggy and gross.
Yeah. Let's find that beautiful person inside and out.
I had my mom one time. I was super heartbroken because the things with this guy were not working out. And I'm I just don't understand. We get along so well, blah, blah, blah. She's well, do you want to sleep with him? And at first I was whoa, why is my mom asking me that?
Yeah.
And then my first reaction was oh, no. And I was ooh. Maybe I shouldn't be so upset because my first reaction shouldn't be, ooh, no, gross. So, yeah, I'm totally with you on that, Ben. There'll be something there.
Yeah. Moving on to our next question that we got. How soon is too soon to tell someone you like them? So I guess this is the hypothetical that you're on that dating app or not, and you've been going on a couple of dates and you realize this is it. I do have the attraction. The scent also is going well for you.
I love their sweat.
So how do you take it to the next level of, okay, now we're more than just people seeing each other from a dating app, I guess is the question.
And
you can add on.
I think also, this isn't really necessarily the question, but I think it also is, like, how do you tell someone that? Is that something you have over text? Is that, like, a carrier pigeon message? Is that an in-person message?
In-person, yeah.
How do you be like, you know what? I like you. This is real. I'd like to explore this further.
And a way to reframe it is, like, I want to... Well, if you're into monogamy, I want to just see you, like, exclusively, I guess is the...
You want to take it to the next level.
Yeah, whatever that means to you.
You're ready to move past the awkward dates. Yes. And you're ready to get in, like, the serious zone.
I tell my students, don't play games, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about self-disclosure, right? You want to tell someone about yourself. It involves liking, loving. Like, don't play games. Who wants to be with a person you told them you like them and they responded negatively? Think, like, if you're going to propose or be proposed to, right? No one ever wants to be rejected. So why would, if we settle that at such an extreme level as marriage, if that's what you're looking for, right? But, like, someone, you like someone, tell them, mm-hmm. right? If they're going to be like, oh, you like me too soon, like, well, no, like, they're not your person at this moment in time. And right now you're looking at this moment in time, so they're not your person, right? So I say don't play games. If you have that over text or not, that's fine. Like, honestly, I've seen, like, someone who just writes, I like you, with an emoticon, right? Or emoji, whichever one your preference is. Like, and that's, like, hella cute. I'm like, wow, that's actually so simple and sweet, mm-hmm. right? In person, we have, unfortunate at times, to be able to, like, stumble, talk too much, say it not how we thought, right? But over text, you can sit there and be like, you know what? 3 words, I like you. Guarantee they're going to see that. If they like you back, and it's going to make them feel something. If they don't feel something, wouldn't you rather know now?
Yeah, that's true.
Then wait 2 more weeks.
Yeah, I think... being genuine, I think it's very clear when someone's, maybe not, but like when they're kind of like love bombing you in a way, like, oh my gosh, I can imagine our future together and our cute little dog and our house, and it's like the second date, and you're like, whoa. But yeah, just being genuine, being yourself, whatever communication you're most comfortable with is how you should say something that's like so true to your heart.
Well, and if you're looking past, like, because Shira mentioned like the types of relationships, right? If you're looking past like just liking, right? Say you know you like each other, right? We've liked each other for 3 weeks now. We liked each other for 3 months. What are we doing here? Do you want to talk about labels?
I actually had this question from a friend, and it's like, we focus a lot about the relationship. Like, we're dating or we're not dating. Pretty, like, black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's so many labels beforehand that are, like, situationship,
yeah,
fling, talking stage, sneaky link. Like, there's so many different things that, are these labels, like, helpful? Or right. are they just causing so much pressure? I wrote, I think, in the column, like, a what are we kind of thing. And yeah, how it's like, yeah. what are we is the most... confusing yet simple question to ask, and yeah. it just brings like all of this stuff. Well, are we this, are we that, are these labels helpful, yeah. do they help us define what we are, or are they just
stressful,
causing so much pressure?
Yeah,
what do you think about labels?
Question,
answer.
Love Guru, Addy and Shira. Mm-hmm. What is Slinky Link?
Sneaky Link.
Sneaky Link. I don't know, this is
my dad listens to this. Okay, no. Sneaky Link.
I can google
no, Sneaky Link is like, let's say I'm hooking up with this guy, right?
Yeah,
but maybe it's not a guy that I'd want to bring around to my friends. It's definitely, I don't want someone I don't want to know about.
Yeah.
So he's my sneaky link.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to sneak on over, and he's going to sneak on out, you know?
Yeah.
Sneaky link.
Understood now. Okay.
I'm like Webster. Sorry, Dad.
So I would say they do matter. It's like horoscopes. They matter, when we talk about love languages before.
Yeah.
They matter if at least one of the participants in the relationship cares. Mm-hmm. If neither cares, then who cares? Right? Casual. I know that's its own whole label. Right? But if someone cares, that's important. Because to one of you, maybe it's you, maybe it's them, it matters. So I would say, rather than, you could just, easy answer, be honest, talk about it. It's easier said than done, right? You can say that about any question, any problem, just talk about it. But that's not the reality most of us live in. So I would say, like, if you're worried about the label, you can try to approach, like, 3 specific things that I look at that kind of defines each one of these, like, characteristics. Like, you can try to talk to them about exclusivity, right? Yes, no, somewhere in the middle, right? You can talk about time commitment. Oftentimes it's like, well, okay, well, based on our relationship label, or I don't know, like, should I be texting them all the time? Should I ask them to hang out every weekend? Should I ask them to hang out twice in 1 week and 1 weekend, right? As well as, like, I call this, and this will be a very science word to say it, but extra dyadic discussion. Extra dyadic mean dyads too, extra, or maybe triad, but two is like outside of it. So can I talk to other people about us, right? Mm. So if we think about the exclusivity, do we think about time? Like, how much time is it appropriate? What's the expectations? And then finally, am I able to talk about this? Like, I've had things where you don't want to talk about it. Both of you are around your friends, and, like, you hope to God they don't, like, give you a kiss on the cheek, right? There's different layouts. So, like, instead of worrying about the labels, like, other than just straight up being like, hey, am I your sneaky being? Sneaky. Are you more like, hey, like, so, like, could do the kind of, I don't know if it's ethical as much, like, well, someone asked me on a date, what do you think? I'm like, that's a non-direct verbal way of doing it. I'd like to see you this weekend, like, you know, do you want to hang out just once? Is maybe twice? Like, do you want to hang out in the morning and the evening? Do you want to hang out the morning after? Kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then finally, like, hey, like, you can test the water. Like, hey, like, I made a joke to my friend about you and they said this, right? As long as it's not, like, coercive where you're trying to like make them like, oh, all my friends like you, and then it makes them uncomfortable. But again, you want to know that. So like if you're just casual versus you're exclusive, like talking again, exclusivity, time commitment, and like, hey, is it cool if I talk about you to other people? Mm-hmm. Outside of just saying, oh yeah, my friend Addie, my friend Shira, it's like, oh yeah, you know, my sneaky link, Sam.
My roommate calls them my special friends. Like when when like there's no I've label on it yet. My special friend.
Like a great label.
I love that label.
If I ever get married, I want them to be my special friend.
I know, because that's just like so like sweet. Like they're just, they're special friend, and yeah, they're my friend.
Special best friend.
Mm. So for the listeners, just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Don't do what I do. Think you're seeing all these signs and you're like, yeah, yeah, we're in a relationship. No, don't do that. I guess just talk about
the,
it.
The, yeah, that's the biggest issue I would say with labels is when either one person cares and the other doesn't, and then it's a little bit, or like the other one's quite against it. But also when you in your head have a different label than what they mm-hmm. have in their heads, that's when the labels don't line up. That's usually the biggest heartbreak, honestly.
Okay, this was a really good question for me because we've talked about a lot of different types of relationships, mm-hmm. like friendships and dating and mm-hmm. everything in between, like sneaky links. But we have not talked about roommates. So I got a question sent in. How do I cope with a roommate who always has her boyfriend over? And roommates are a crucial yeah. relationship that we have, college, beyond, even like this question, but how do you have these difficult confrontations with people mm-hmm. that you live with
yeah.
without it being awkward or yeah. like sounding like their mom?
Exactly, because I want to say it doesn't even necessarily have to be like a boyfriend or even a relationship. Exactly, it could just be like a person that you're living with that is doing something like some sort of behavior, I guess, mm-hmm. but specifically like bringing a person over that is just, it's too much. My roommates listen to this, so I have nothing bad to say.
Oh, it should be noted, I've been living on my own for 2 years now and life is good. My last roommate is crazy. I've had over 25 roommates. So it's been a long time since college roommates.
Oh my gosh.
So I shared a room with my best friend Kevin, and he had a girlfriend. And you know how things go. Mm-hmm. So I will say, but easy answer to be open and honest, blah, blah, blah. You get it. So I would say, like, strategically, if you're not going to straight up say something, which I get it, maybe you can almost be like, hey, I should just need a lot of time by myself. And maybe that way, it'll, rather than talking about your roommate's partner, you're more talking about your roommate, even if you love your roommate to death. Because if they're going to stick at the hip, we've all been in relationships where you, oh, sorry, your partner can't come. And you're like, oh, I don't really want to go anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? So if this is the case for a lot of couples, right? Maybe it's more like, hey, I'm just going, like, you don't have to lie and say you're going through a lot. Although you are going through a lot, you're going through anxiety. You can be like, hey, is there like a way that I can just have more alone time myself in the dorm? Realistically, there's no way in hell you're going to be like, hey, your partner sucks. Can they not be here? Or even if their partner's cool, like, I hear him, like, I talk a lot. So even if my hypothetical partner is friends like me, I'm going to be talking the whole fucking time. Like, oh, I like how he talks, but, like, I don't want to listen to stand-up comedy all the time or some shit, right? So, like, maybe a strategy, and I'll get your advice on this one, too, because you are closer to your dorm life or mm-hmm. in it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But no. Being like, hey, I just need some solo time myself. So, like, maybe can you go to your thing, or how about Tuesday, Thursday nights, or me, like, silent night swiping on Tinder. I want to be alone as I listen to losing music. And if you're here, I can't swipe mm-hmm. Tinder, so we can go on double dates one day.
Something yeah, like that. That's a good way to wrap
it up. Yeah, you just kind of like bring it together. No, yeah. I think that's very wise. I mean, yeah. I think it's really healthy to set those boundaries and just be open and honest. I know when you first get a roommate, you're like, you know what? I'm so easygoing. Like, whatever you want to do. And then things start happening and you're like, maybe I'm not as easygoing as I yeah. thought. Just be honest about it, because chances are there's probably something that you're doing that they don't love. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not all perfect. So yeah. opening that might just be like, oh, yeah. And like, hey, maybe you could like take out the trash.
Yeah.
While you go
empty the dishwasher more often.
Yeah, you yeah. know, do those kinds of things.
Agreed. I guess I kind of want to like shift this question into, how do you cope with having a friend who always has their partner around all the time? Theoretically, in a hypothetical world, you have a friend that is just constant. Either they're talking about their partner, or they're going to see their partner, or their partner is there in the room with you. It's tiring. It's exhausting.
Or I think the alternative to that being like, they're going to cancel on plans.
Yep. Because
I'm going to go hang out with my boyfriend. Yeah, I was just talking to a friend about this today. The yeah, whole like, yeah. oh, sorry. Like,
I have to go be with my partner, my mm-hmm. my special friend.
My sneaky link. I'm going to say that. See how many times I can say sneaky link now.
I guess how to deal with it is, the morbid answer is that this is kind of who they are. I recently had a good friend tell me that people you surround yourself reflect you. Mm. And it's like, if you have a best friend or a friend that's just like, they just, that's not part of their personality, hanging out with this person. So a harsh reality is like, not to make this like a negative question, but like, I had a lot of friends get babies recently and I don't particularly like kids. So I'm just kind of like, oh, all right, well, I guess I won't really hang out with them ever again. I've been friends for 10 years, right? So like, if this is how it is, like, obviously sit down and be like, hey, like, we just have some girls night, mm-hmm. we have boys night, Can we have roommate night? Can we have best friend night? Oh, I feel like, or if you're really worried, you're like, hey, I feel at times third wheeling. If you want to take that route, right? Because ultimately, you're a third wheel. If they're annoying you, you're third wheel, right? If you're not a third wheel, then you don't feel like anyone's annoying you, unless they just suck as a person. But ultimately, it may just be like, it's just maybe kind of what they want. Mm-hmm. And again, we all date to learn. So like maybe they need to learn that like, oh, like how many of us know or have been in relationships where like, oh, I stopped hanging out with my friends for like 8 months while I dated this person.
Yeah.
And hopefully we grew from that. Mm-hmm. The next partner, we learned that about ourselves. Yeah. But on the practical, like daily level, it may be hard. Cause like who's ever been like, yeah, your boyfriend kind of annoying, your girlfriend kind of annoying. Like, you know, thank you for saying that. I think I'm going to now hang out with them less. It's just maybe a harsh reality for that duration.
I've been in that exact situation. I was the girl. I was the one that ditched her friends. It was terrible. It was my first high school boyfriend. And you kind of don't realize that it's happening until it's too late. Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen my friends in years.
See, that's what I hear people say, but I think I'll be able to tell what
it's happening. You'll think you're different. I think but you're built, just I am like the different. Rest of the year. No,
I don't know.
And the thing is that you're not going to want to listen to your friends during that time. You're going to be like, I'm in love. They don't know what they're talking about. I know me best. I know him different. I know him better than anyone else does, kind of thing. But it's almost like letting the baby bird leave the nest. They're going to go off. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to run into the tree. They're going to make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. And you can just only hope that they come back home to you.
Right.
And if they don't and they're choosing to spend all their time with their boyfriend until the end of time, that's not a friend that you want anyways. You want someone who's going to value you and want you in their life and make time for you.
So
you know, let them go to their thing for a while. And if it's, you know, you're checking your calendar. It's on your wrist.
Yep.
You're checking your calendar and you're like, man, I haven't seen that friend in like 2 years. Like, wonder what they're up to. You check in and they're like, oh yeah, like we're engaged. And you're like, okay, you know what? Then it's time to take a step back from that friendship. And hopefully it was just a learning experience. And hopefully they'll learn too.
True.
You need more people in your life than just your
circle.
Partner.
Agreed.
To add to that too, right? Like, again, like everything you were saying, Addie, makes total sense. They're excited about that person. If you want to be a true good best friend, it's not your job to make them want to hang out with you, right? You're not a salesperson for your own self.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a thing like, hey, research shows that most successful relationships, the partners have their own independent social lives. They have a lot of overlapping, but they can go to trivia with their friends or they can go to drinks on a Friday with, like, right? So if you want to be a good friend, one way to maintain is to see like, hey, can you infer that their partner and them are being healthy about their attachment,
mm-hmm.
right? It could be a situation where, yeah, they're going to hang out with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, but then you come to find out that the boyfriend's shaming them, making them feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. If you want to be a good friend, you can look out for signs like that. It's much easier to approach a friend being like, hey, I think your partner may be a bit possessive or very lightly abusive when it comes to taking your attention and time from your friends, as opposed to, hey, your boyfriend's annoying, I miss you, right? So one of them is like a helping best friend thing if you want to maintain that friendship, even if you accept that you need to take a backseat to this relationship until they're ready to see it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, like I said, they might not listen to you the first time around. They might be like, you don't know what you're talking about. But if this is, like, your best friend, and you're, like, noticing they're going down, like, a bad path, you know, I think friends are supposed to, like, have the hard truths and share them with their other friends. Like, if I look ugly in an outfit, I'm going to want my best friend to tell me. And if I'm dating a guy who's kind of a jerk, I'm really going to want my best friend to tell me, no matter how much I protest at the moment. Later down the line, I'm like, thank you for making me throw away that sweater, and thank you for making me ditch that slob. You know?
Right.
So,
it all works. Well said.
Thank you. I had a question today from one of my friends. And she phrased it like so. Feels like people are on the hunt for the emotional one-night stand as well as the sexual. How are you supposed to find a meaningful relationship when it feels like people want an emotional crutch just as bad as sex but are unable to commit? I love this question. I thought it was really good because it's so true. Like, now hookups aren't just about, like, the nasty. I feel like there's emotional booty calls. When you call someone, they make you feel validated for a little bit, and then you just send them on their way. That's not healthy if you want to have a committed relationship with someone. So I just thought that question was...
Okay, first off, that was an interesting question. That was the one I had to think about the most hearing it. I would say never be discouraged. There's definitely people out there looking for more meaningful relationships, right? It's a law of averages. There's a bunch of people looking for hookups sexually, a bunch looking up for this emotional baggage drop on you on a late Friday night, 2 or 3 a.m., just let me sleep. So we all need affection, right? Whether it's physical or emotional, or social support and emotional support. Ultimately, though, sometimes people just aren't ready to commit, and that's just okay sometimes to accept, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're worried about wasting your time, your energy, or your love, right, I'd say maybe next time before kind of heading into that one-night stand, right? Obviously, it's easier. Like, sometimes we just end up in one-night stands. Like, oh, my God, how did I get here? It's been so fun up until this moment, I realized, right? It may be like, hey, look in different places, right? So maybe look in different apps, look in different parties, like different social networks. And maybe you're surrounding yourself with a group or finding a way, whether that online dating or not, people who are particularly in a moment in their lives. I think one of the hard things, and it's tough to hear, and I tell any of my students that come in office hours to talk about their relationships.
They do that? That's so cute.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why study all this if I can't talk to people, my students and the mm-hmm. people that are important, right? Yes. But it's tough to hear, but like, for a lot of people, college is a transitioning time, understanding where they are, growing period, right? So it makes sense that like a majority of people aren't right now between traditionally 18 to 22-ish are looking for the meaningful relationships. So I would say just kind of be patient. But that is a thing, like, and you have to decide, do you want to offer that or not? So if you're really worried about that, if you've had three in a row, right, maybe be a little bit more patient before you invite them over to the dorm. Or before you go over to the dorm, be like, hey, I want to take a little bit more time to assess. But ultimately, if you end up there, live and learn. Just don't be discouraged. There's so many fucking fish in the sea, right?
Truly.
And I think maybe this is like problematic take, but I think that you can kind of teach people how to treat you. If you set your boundaries, you don't have to be like, okay, I'm not doing this, 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 or this. But if you set your boundaries in a healthy way, and you're like, this is how I deserve to be treated. This is how I want to be treated. This is what I want. Mm-hmm. A lot of people around this age, like in particular, they don't know what they're doing. So having this guide of like, oh, this is how this person wants to be treated. I really respect this person. This is how I'm going to treat them. You kind of just taught them in a way mm-hmm. how you want to go forward.
Exactly.
So I say set those boundaries. Yeah. You know, make them clear. Stick to them. Don't be flaky on your boundaries.
Yeah.
Don't be like, I'm not going to do this. And then the next night you're like, okay, like, here we are, you know.
Same situation,
Stick to yourself. Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
You know yourself better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe except for, like, my mom.
I was talking to a friend, and again, hypothetical situation, mm-hmm. but we were talking about first dates and how there's a lot of expectations and, like, mixed signals. So if you're going on a movie date, then it's pretty clear that there's might be some physical activity going on because it's a movie and you're sitting very close to one another, something like holding hands during the movie, putting your arm on mm-hmm. them during a movie, you know, that's what, like, general, when you go on a date, like a capital D date, there is some sort of physical touching being involved in this. I feel like that's something that, like, the two parties are probably going to assume, that there might be, like, a kiss at the end of the night.
Yeah, but I feel like...
No?
Well, yes. No, I'm okay, with you. Okay, no, I'll submit this. I'm with you. But I will say, I feel like if you're going to go on a capital D date, most of the time, it's like the end of the night, you know, mm-hmm. you're standing at the door.
Yes.
And you're staring deeply into each other's eyes.
Yes.
There's signals there, unspoken signals, nonverbal communication.
Ooh, there you go.
Educated.
Yep. And there's very clear signals of like, yes, I want to kiss you, or no, I don't want to kiss you. And so I feel like it's not something that necessarily needs to be talked about or should be assumed.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get this at the end of the day. I feel like...
I guess I'm talking more in the sense of boundaries of, like, if you don't want this to happen, you don't want a kiss at the end of the date.
Oh,
like,
if you don't want a kiss?
Yeah.
I'm so good at this. No. All you gotta do is you're just like, all right, you go for, like, the side hug, you keep your chin far away, and you're like, all right, I'll see you later.
Little high five.
Yeah, like, nice. Thank you for dinner. So awesome.
Yes.
You know?
But you know what I mean? That it's like,
because
don't be flaky with your boundaries. If you have very specific things that you want out of a date, or things that you definitely do not want out of a date, boundaries are so important. Like, you can be super clear about mm-hmm. that. I don't know, because we were just talking about, like, dates that have implications.
No, I get you.
You know what I mean? And it's
like... And dates shouldn't have implications.
Shouldn't, but sometimes they do, and that's, like, part of, you know,
but,
norms.
You know, if all you gotta do is, like, a... nice little swerve.
Yes.
Then you gotta swerve.
Or you can, I mean, also you could talk it out if you want.
Mm-hmm. You suck it up and do like the tight lip, like, like the grandma kiss. Okay, I'm getting away from this conversation.
So this is also a question that we got asked. Dealing with someone who stopped pursuing me and got back with his ex, but is flirty privately.
Shame.
I know your name.
So I will say, it definitely sounds like in that situation, whether we've been in this or we know someone who's been in this, this is a very prevalent thing, right? So let's say there's definitely mixed signals, right? But it sounds like the biggest signal being sent is that they got back with their ex, mm-hmm. right? We have to try to justify it, right? Everything else. We're rational creatures. We'll rationalize any shit we do.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'm queen of that.
Yeah, rationalize everything, right? So it seems like they chose to get back with their ex. So ultimately, you don't have the agency to change that, right? Mm-hmm. You can't change your behavior. It's not your job to convince them, right? So ideally, I would say if they're flirting, it's because of two reasons. One, they think they can get away with it. Or two, because they can get away with it. And the reason why they can get away with it is you're allowing it to happen, right? So if you're fine being the side person, embrace it. They're cool. I am the person they text when they drink a little too much.
A sneaky link, maybe?
A sneaky link, right? Uh-huh. But, like, ultimately, who, if you think about who you want to be with, like, who wants to be with the kind of person that got back with their ex and still flirts with someone? Mm-hmm. So that should be the biggest sign. And, yeah, you may be really attached to them. You may have been hopeful. But at the end of the day, like, they, and it's hard to say, but they didn't want you. They wanted someone else. And our person wants us. That's how you know it's your person, because they want you more than anyone else. So don't let them get away with it. Cut them off.
No. If you
need to be,
truth.
If you need to be like, quote unquote, like text violent, like, hey, you fucking suck. I hate you. Mm-hmm. Go for it. You need the closure that they're not giving you because they're still trying to flirt with you. So you don't owe them shit. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more powerful, I think, than just like the block and ghost. Mm-hmm. There's so much power in that. Like,
yeah. Okay, yeah. Rapid fire advice.
All right.
Yes,
I got,
I'm excited.
I got four things. I'll make them concise. So the first was kind of what we discussed before. But ideally, people getting over breakups and rejections, I always like to tell someone, and this is hard. I have to tell myself this all the time. This is kind of the inside my head voice, I say. But the biggest thing you should look for in someone is someone who wants you back, right? It's tough to hear, but it's important. We spend a lot of time and energy lusting over people we can't have or people who just don't simply want us back. But again, your perfect person wants you back. That should be the number one characteristic. They can be cute. They can be fun. Hopefully they're both, right? But they need to want you back, mm-hmm. right? So if someone simply doesn't, then they aren't your perfect person. They don't qualify for around that first thing. Number two, don't play games. This comes to texting. I hear this all the time. Texting back, stuff like that. I think it's fascinating. When we think of love and what we're looking for, we always think about like that first date, second date, third date. Some of the questions we had tonight. But in reality is when you first start messaging someone or you date a match on a dating app, we spend 99.9% of our time apart, especially the first month or few weeks, right? All we ever think of is compatibility. We're together for that hour or two, that 3 or 4 hours. But in reality, we need to find someone who we're compatible with just as much when we're together as when we're not. So for me, if, like, I'm a huge texter. I actually had a great date. It was a very beautiful woman. She also liked house music like me. She's a raver. I loved it, right? Great first date. Yeah. But then she took like 2 days to respond to every text. It showed a disinterest. She may not be disinterested, but I want someone I can like grow with. I want the momentum to carry always. So ideally, if you want to text them. Don't play games, right? The kind of person is the type of person who you say you like them, they say I like you back. They don't freak out. The type of person is you text them, they text you back. You don't need to hide who you are and how you feel. What kind of lover you are, show it. Number three, date, get experience. I was like this in college.
Flirt.
Yeah.
Flirt. So, it's so good for you.
Well, I always find it fascinating. Everyone wants to like fall in love so few dates, right? First off, good for you. My brother's wife, she went on one Tinder date. She found my brother. They're married, right? I like to compare it to like a movie reviewer. So if you like movies, which I know you do, we go look at movie reviews. What does it take to be a movie reviewer? Someone who's seen like 1,000 movies, right? So the idea is we trust someone who can tell us the best movie because they've seen every single movie. So how do you know who the best person is for you if you haven't dated every single person? That's hyperbole, of course. But the idea is the more dates you go on, you're going to more likely find who your best partner is. You're going to figure out how to be the best partner. And you need to know that. You need the experience of that to figure out who you are, what you have to offer, and what you like. So like, don't be shy about just dating a lot. Again, I said it earlier, go on 100 dates. The 101st date is the person for you. And at the 101st date, you've finally figured out who you are. Every superhero movie you've ever seen, the character has a lot of learning until they finally reach their full power, so shoot dating. Mm-hmm. And if you read the reviews, it's a good movie. The reviews know what they're talking about. And finally, be patient. Be patient. We all want to meet our person now, especially in our first 25 years. Societally, we have like this weird thing where we think we're all going to fall in love in the first 20, 25 years. Let's assume we all live to be 100 because we're healthy, right? And the idea is that's the first quarter of our life. If you think about it, your favorite movie, your favorite song, probability-wise, to put my nerd glasses on for this, we're going to find that halfway through your life. Like, by law of averages, your favorite movie, your favorite song are going to be about halfway through your life. But we have this infatuation with thinking that we're going to find someone in the first 20 years. So be patient, right? Most of us aren't going to find our perfect person. You haven't met your best friend, probably. You've met some of your best friends. But your favorite person, your favorite song, your favorite movie is probably still yet to come. So be patient, date, get experience, learn who you are, learn what you have to offer them. So when you meet them, you're on your fucking A game with your cape on, ready to fly.
Oh, I love that.
I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel genuinely inspired right now. It's a weird time of the year, I think. It's, like I said, post-Valentine's Day. It's kind of cold.
It's dreary. Like we're pre, like, spring, which is, like, the, waiting, you know, coupling
for, like, getting
time.
Out, like, meeting somebody, like, on the quad, mm-hmm. like, with the cherry blossoms, mm-hmm. you know, where you're outside of your house. But, like, right now when it's snowing and freezing, it's a little hard to get out there. But, yeah, I needed to hear that. Be patient. Be yourself.
Date.
Date. I know. I tell all my friends. I'm like, just go flirt. Like, it's so much fun. Very go, true. And you never know what's going to happen. Give your number to that cute guy at Starbucks, you know? Mm-hmm. Go up to that person at your cycle class.
Ooh,
or your core
yes.
class, you know? And just make connections with people. I feel like we need to take advantage of being, like, not out of the pandemic yet, but we're kind of easing our way out.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting to see people face-to-face again.
Yes.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because I took it so for granted. I'm like, yeah. Never again. Now I want to, like, just see people all the time. It's
agreed.
So exciting and so fun.
Thanks for tuning in to It's Complicated, the podcast. Please stick around because we will be here giving you advice on love, dating, relationships, friendships, and sneaky links. And most importantly, love for yourself so that everything can be a little less complicated.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's Complicated, the pod. Follow us on Spotify and follow us to Northeastern. We'll be hounding Ben about all of our relationship problems. Thank you, guys.